All right, welcome back to KMBR. Tonight, the show rolls along, and it's time to welcome in Marty Lurie. Marty Lurie joining the show. No one better to talk about Buster Posey and his upcoming retirement plans. Of course, Andy Baggerly of The Athletic breaking the story on Wednesday afternoon. Marty, welcome to the show, and I guess just your initial thoughts when you saw the news.
Well, Kerry, it's good to be with you. I was not shocked because we had the feeling that there was a possibility this could happen. During the season, we talked about it on the show. Henry Schulman brought it up one point when he was on, that this could happen. You know, you have to look at a couple of things here. One, Ron Wotus, the professor, has always quoted Philippe Alou in saying, show me the man first, then the player. And I think that applies to Buster Posey, and I think his retirement is Buster Posey the man. Not the baseball player, but the man, and there are things that he wanted to do. And that led to the decision. So I'm not shocked, but I am a little bit surprised that it didn't come out a little earlier. But, of course, with the playoffs, that's probably why it didn't.
Yeah, Buster has always wanted to put his family first. He said right. that several times. And so I don't think that this decision even came as a shock to Farhan and Scott and Gabe, who knew that Buster was contemplating something like this. But when you think back on Posey's career, Marty, there's so many different things that he'll be remembered for. What are just some of the first few that stand out to you, aside from the World Series rings, that obviously will kind of mark his legacy here in San Francisco?
Well, a couple of things. One, when he came up, and it was an upheaval with Benji Molina when he came up and was put in the lineup and he started hitting right away. And then, of course, 2010 happened after that, and Benji Molina was traded away. So the way he broke into the major leagues in May of 2010 was a big deal. The other thing I'll remember, of course, is the rule change at home plate.
Mm-hmm.
The Buster Posey rule, really, when Scott Cousins knocked him over and broke his leg and his ankle and all that stuff, it led to a major change in the game. And then the other part is 2012, the home run off Matt Latos and that grand slam in the game against Cincinnati, which was just huge. And it propelled the Giants to another World Series, that one for sure. And, of course, this past year, coming back, taking a year off, and it goes back to what I said earlier, you know, show me the man. And in 2010, because of his family issues, he didn't play, and he opted out and walked away from a lot of money. And then he came back this year, and no one knew really what to expect. He had the hip surgery, which knocked him out for a couple of years and never used it as an alibi, and a very special guy. So now he comes back in 2021, and he hits third or fourth in the order. He's an all-star and has one of his best seasons ever. So I'll remember the longevity of his career and the impact he had on the game when he played. This year, there are no 107 wins without Buster Posey, I'll tell you that.
Oh, great perspective. And I think that you hit on a point that, you know, maybe 50 years from now, when we talk about Buster Posey's career in a Giants uniform, we will be talking about the 2021 season. And not just because of the 107 wins and the collective effort, but because what Buster gave this team, maybe they expected it, maybe Buster expected it, but all of us on the outside, how could we think that someone who underwent major hip surgery in August 2018 and sat out an entire season in 2020 in an era where pitchers are throwing 100 miles an hour out of the bullpen, that he could hit over 300, that he could hit with an 800 plus OPS, that he could be the all-star silver slugger caliber catcher that he's been throughout his career. I think this is one of his most remarkable achievements, the 2021 season, Marty.
Well, no question, because he came back from not playing. And the one thing I'll say about him, and you can quote me, he can hit.
Buster Posey has the Marty seal of approval. He can hit.
He can hit. And if he wanted to go to right field and right center his whole career, he would have hit probably 360. But, you know, there was pressure on him to pull the ball and to hit home runs. But he can hit. He can handle the bat. But more importantly, and what you said about 2021, number one, he embraced the analytics. And look, it's a new coaching staff. There's a lot of people that did not have major league experience, and they have to work with the catcher. And Posey worked with them. and the pitchers were glad to pitch to Posey. They never shook Posey off. Posey called his game, but he worked with the analytics people and gave them validity. And I think that's very important. He was like having a coach on the field this year. And when he was out of the lineup, it was noticeable. As good as Casale was, you missed the bat of Posey in the lineup. So what he did for the ball club, just morale-wise and being like a coach of the team, I think was huge for him. And that really was a major part of the 107 win. So he embraced analytics. He worked with everybody. He gave it validity, and he brought the game to the 2021 season without any problem. So I think we remember him for that as well.
You know, there are a few different ways the Giants could have handled Buster Posey during his career, and maybe after 2017, they could have said, hey, look, to preserve his longevity and to ensure that he plays into his mid to late 30s, we can make Buster Posey a first baseman, and we can have him come out from behind the plate. That wasn't really something that I think Buster Posey ever seriously entertained. Do you think we're having this conversation today about Buster Posey stepping away if he does end up playing more first base over the last few seasons? And are you of the belief that keeping him behind the plate was the most important thing the Giants could do for him?
Good question. Maybe. I'll give you a maybe on that one. If he was a first baseman for a good part of the time, maybe he doesn't get hit in the head as many times with foul balls. Because, look, he's a family man. He's got his four children. You know, he's got a life outside of baseball. And as a catcher, I'm not so sure he wanted to get hit in the head that many more times. So I think that probably was part of it. So if he was a first baseman, maybe that would have reduced the risk a little bit. But he made it very clear. He said, look, guys, I'm a catcher, and I'm going to catch. And whatever it takes, if it's a foul tip in my foot, in my hands, in my shoulder, or getting hit in the mask, that's okay. I am a catcher. And I think that's, he made that very clear. There's another part of the game here. His throwing got to be phenomenal. He took away the running game. And if you notice, and the professor will tell you this, Ron Wotus, on all the throws over to first base, he did not have to throw over to first base as much when he had Posey behind the plate. And you look at the Braves with Chase Darno behind the plate. You know, if the Astros were ever one run behind, if they ever got that close in the ninth inning, they would have run the Braves out of the ballpark. But Posey stopped the running game, and it was a huge part, and it got better as he went along in his career. So not having him as a receiver now, the pitchers love to pitch to him, and he could bring Duvall along, or he could bring Gausman along, or DeSclafani, Wood, Cueto, Webb, you name it. He brought him along. They wanted to pitch to him. Not having him as a catcher is a bad blow. And we haven't even talked about the lineup yet and the pressure that it puts on Brandon Belt now for the Giants to sign him, because they've lost a major part of the offense, that 3-4 spot.
No question. I want to pick a little bit at the defense, because I think that it's going to end up being an underrated part of Posey's game in terms of his legacy, just because he did play at the same time as Yadier Molina, who was cleaning up Gold Glove awards. Posey only won one, but you mentioned that he stopped the running game. He was so important with developing young pitchers. Even this season, Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani pointed to having Buster Posey back there as a reason behind their career years. Do you think that we will remember Buster Posey as an excellent defensive catcher in the long term, and will his lack of Gold Gloves end up impacting his Hall of Fame candidacy?
It may, to some degree, but he'll be a Hall of Famer on all other counts, and if he's not a Gold Glover, he's not going to take away from it. You know, he's in a category for a final year of people walking away. Look, his year, you know, he had an 889 OPS, 499 slugging. You know, his final year is like Shoeless Joe Jackson, Barry Bonds, David Ortiz, Will Clark, Mickey Mantle. So you put him in that category. So I don't think the defense will detract at all. I think you look at the man, the type of player he was, what he brought to the team. He was like a coach on the field. And he was the heart. He was the magnet. And with Crawford and Posey, they're really the last two links to 2010. So it's a very important part for him. So to answer your question, Yadier Molina is a little more of a traditional catcher, but he couldn't carry Buster Posey's bat. Well, Maybe Buster Posey couldn't carry Molina's glove for the longevity of Molina's career over 2,000 games caught. But I'll take Buster Posey any day.
I want to go back to a point you brought up, Marty, about, you know, what Buster Posey meant to this pitching staff, Kevin Gausman, Camilo Doval, the way he ushered them along. Do you think that not having Posey will hurt the Giants in their quest to sign starting pitchers? Because they've got to rebuild their rotation this offseason. Logan Webb is the only man who is absolutely coming back next year. Do you think that that will have a market effect on who the Giants go after and who they're ultimately able to sign?
No, not really. I think people have enough respect for the Giants system and for the pitching coach and for the Giants' way of doing things. And it's still somewhat of a pitcher's park, even though it's shortened up a little bit. I think they're going to have to go out and get a catcher. I don't think they can turn over catching to Joey Bart and Casale. I think they're going to have to get a catcher, sort of a name-type catcher, someone who can catch the number of games Posey did, 106 games. So I think a pitcher coming here comes here for the ballpark, comes here for the organization, and comes here for the strength of the team, and also the track record of this organization turning pitchers' careers around. And I think they still will come here. It would be nice to pitch to Posey, but money talks, and so does the ballpark.
So does the ballparks, and so does the pitching infrastructure the Giants have built here in San Francisco.
So.
Absolutely. Marty Lurie joining me here on KMBR tonight, looking at Buster Posey and looking at the future of the Giants now, Marty. You know, a few hours before Andy Baggerly broke this story for The Athletic, we were on the phone earlier today talking about Joey Bart needs to play. This is his time, and now he's going to get that opportunity. How do you see this unfolding for Joey Bart?
Well, as I say, I don't think they'll turn it over to Joey Bart. I'm not sure he's ready as a receiver. I think he's on the team. I think there's going to be a DH in baseball, a universal DH next year. And Joey Bart, he can hit. And he's got to hit more consistently, but that bat is going to speak loudly. So I think he's on the team, and I think they will have to get another catcher. So I think that's the biggest part for Bart. Patrick Bailey is not ready yet. They love receivers. You know, they want good receivers. Look, Chadwick Schwartz was here. Heinemann was here. It's going to be interesting to see how they piece this together. But I think they're going to have to get a catcher, and I think Bart's on the team. But I think he's on the team more for his bat than to put him in the limelight, because if he falls on his face in the limelight, they've got really no backup. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think they're going to have to get someone who can catch over 100 games.
Well, you mentioned that Brandon Belt and re-signing him has got to be a priority for this Giants team. Brandon Crawford will be back, but this was the last year for the trio. We talked about it back in spring training, kind of the legacy Giants. And I wonder if this will help the Giants kind of usher in some of their younger prospects, not just Joey Bart, but the fact that the Giants now have an opportunity to get younger. They're no longer going for it the way they were in Buster Posey's prime, although they will be expected to contend for an NL West title. Maybe you get an Elliot Ramos. Maybe Sean Jelly comes up and throws more innings next year. Just maybe this allows them to kind of philosophically shift to the point where younger players can be more easily integrated into this Giants roster.
They have to. They have to do it. Ramos has got to be on this team. He's got to have a chance. Joey Bart has got to be on this team. Maybe Sean Jelly. Maybe there are a couple of other players who are close that will be on the team. But they're going to have to go out and maybe make a couple of deals for the Jorge Solares of the world, mm-hmm. or people like that, and not roll the dice with, you know, a player who's jammed up on someone's roster, who's the fifth outfielder, who, you know, has good analytics, and, you know, we can make him another Mike Yastrzemski or another Lamont Wade. They may have to actually go out and get some athletes, and they need some young players. Look, there's no guarantee Longoria is going to have a big year again when he was hurt, and he came back. He was not as effective. Crawford's a year older. You've got Ruff. Where are you going to put him? You've got Wade, who did not have a good end of the year. Yastrzemski did not have a great year. Slater is on the bubble. Dickerson is on the bubble. So they've got some work to do on the offensive side. And, of course, replacing or signing Gausman, DeSclafani, Wood, what do you do with those guys? Do you pay them? But I think the key to this whole deal is Brandon Belt. And I think he's going to have a market. I mean, he's a darling of the analytics people. Even before this whole crowd got here, they loved him. And they still do, with the walks and the pitches per at bat and the power. And he really came into his own as a better hitter this year. They've got to sign Belt. Because if you take Belt out of this lineup and Posey out of this lineup, and you're a little longer in the tooth with Flores and who knows what Solano will do, and then you've got Longoria to deal with too, not having Belt, I think, would be critical. So I think Brandon Belt just made about $20
million. Well, there's no excuse because Buster Posey just gave the Giants $22
million.
Dollars.
That's right. He gave it up, and he was a man about it and said, look, it's not for me, and you don't have to pay me an option, I assume, and I'm done. And now Brandon Belt, that money is there for him, and I think it's critical that they sign him. There'd be a tremendous hole in this lineup if they didn't sign him.
Now, from 2020 to 2022, Buster Posey giving up a combined about $30 million. Wasn't paid last year during the pandemic as he sat out and then forfeits the $22 million by retiring. And so it will be interesting to see, Marty, how the Giants reallocate these funds. If you had the choice of one guy to go out and get on the free agent market right now, where would you put your biggest chips?
Well, it's a good question. That depends on whether Belt's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Let's assume he is. You can't have both Posey and Belt leaving in the offseason.
Okay, well, if Belt wasn't coming back, I'd say Freddie Freeman would be, I don't care what he says about Atlanta, but Freddie Freeman would be the guy I would go after. But let's assume that that's not going to happen. It's a good question. It may put Chris Bryant back in the picture, honestly. You know, they like Bryant. They like his versatility. As I said, Longoria could be a question. Bryant can play third. I think Posey's retirement puts Bryant back in the picture for the Giants. Without having the whole list in front of me, I'm going to go Bryant. Where do you go with it?
I'd love to see the Giants go after Max Scherzer, and I think that that's a way. You think he's done? You think that's
he's
it
done.
For Max Scherzer?
Nah, that's enough.
let's unpack that. He was pitching on short rest in the playoffs, and you're ready to call it a career?
No, we saw him over the last couple of months. He's not the same pitcher. And maybe you could use him as a third starter or a fourth starter, but I don't think you could go out and spend $80 million or $90 million on Max Scherzer.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going to put him in that in the Albert Pujols category when I declared he was done, too.
and he's still playing in the Dominican Winter League.
And I was wrong about that. He became a very effective right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching. He really did. He hit the ball hard there at the end.
Oh, we did a whole show about it. I was completely wrong.
How about Chris Taylor? Chris Taylor would be
a perfect fit. I think, without question, he's a good pickup. But, hey, Marty, one more for you before we let you go here. World Series thoughts on the way the Atlanta Braves did it, an 88-win team that bought all in at the deadline, getting the four outfielders, and Dusty Baker gets to the altar and can't get the job done for the Houston Astros but restored a lot of integrity with what he did over there.
It was great. I'm glad for Dusty. I'm glad for Brian Snitker, Ron Washington, Brent Strom, and all the Walt Weiss and Rick Kranitz and all the people, Eric Young, and all the people who are the support people for both teams. But as I say, and Larry Kruger disagrees with me, and of course I was right again, it's pitching, pitching, pitching. And the Braves figured it out. Look, it's a different time of year. The 162, you need starting pitching. I don't care what you say. You need the five innings. You need six innings. You can't go through 162 with openers the whole way. It's not going to work. I don't care what you say. But the Braves ended up with the hottest pitchers at the right time. And even though Max Fried was not great, Ian Anderson was good enough. Morton gave him some innings. But that parade of the bullpen, that was like the Nasty Boys of 1990 with the Cincinnati Reds, with Myers and Dibble and Charlton. You know, once you got to the sixth inning, that parade came in, and they shut down good pitching, shuts down good hitting, and they did it. And unfortunately for Dusty, his pitching just fell apart. He didn't have the arms to take him through October. So the right team won. And I'm glad for the Atlanta Braves. They did a great job. And come on, Jock Peterson, Soler, Duvall. I mean, these guys were not part of the team. they were not part of the team up to the trade deadline, and all of a sudden, they're in the World Series.
And now maybe you can picture some of them in a Giants uniform with this newfound payroll flexibility. Hey, Marty, thank you so much for joining us here on KMBR tonight. Wonderful perspective on Buster Posey. You were there from day one, so we always appreciate it, and always great to get a chance to chat with you.
Well, a pleasure to talk with you, and this is a monumental time. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. And I'll end it with this. Felipe said it, and Woe would quote him, "Show me the man first." And with Buster Posey, you're seeing the man first.
There it is. When we come back, more Buster Posey discussion. Phone lines will open. 808-CAMBR is the number. You're listening to KMBR Tonight with Kerry Crowley, 104.5-680, the sports leader.